Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. Today, we mark a significant milestone, World Tuberculosis Day, observed on 24th March every year, commemorating Robert Koch's 1882 discovery of the TB bacillus. This year, the President of India highlighted India's progress under the TB Mukt Bharat Abhiyan and launched a 100-day intensified campaign, leveraging AI diagnostics and Jan Bhagidari, or people's participation. What makes this significant is that India has achieved a 21% reduction in TB incidence since 2015, nearly double the global decline rate. Additionally, there has been a 25% decrease in TB-related deaths over the same period. Over 20 crore people have been screened, and 32 lakh cases have been detected. It is worth noting that 50% of TB patients are asymptomatic, making active screening critical. To combat this, over 3,000 AI-powered handheld X-ray units have been deployed across the country. First, let's understand the challenges. The silent spread through asymptomatic carriers, social stigma deterring treatment-seeking behavior, poor treatment adherence during the 6 to 9 month drug courses, crowded housing in urban informal settlements accelerating transmission, and difficulty tracking migrant workers across states are all significant hurdles. Building on this, the 100-day campaign combines technology, community participation, and nutritional support, a multi-pronged approach relevant for GS2, or health, and GS3, or science and technology. Now, let's look at some key facts and numbers. World Tuberculosis Day is observed on 24th March every year, with the theme for 2026 being, Yes, we can end TB. India has the highest TB incidence globally, with approximately 27 lakh cases annually. According to the 2024 WHO report, there were around 1.25 million global TB deaths. The TB Mukt Bharat Abhiyan was launched in 2018 with the target of eliminating TB by 2025, 5 years ahead of the UN SDG 2030 target. Moving on, let's discuss the Women's Reservation Act. The Union Government has proposed conducting early delimitation based on 2011 census data to implement the Women's Reservation Act, which could increase Lok Sabha seats from 543 to approximately 816. This proposal includes reserving around 273 seats for women, which is approximately 33% of the total. It's worth noting that no existing constituencies would be eliminated, and a lottery system is proposed for selecting which constituencies are reserved for women. Now, let's examine the key provisions of the proposal. The Lok Sabha seats would increase from 543 to approximately 816, a 50% increase. The number of women's reserved seats would be around 273, which is 33% of the total. The proposal also includes amendments to Article 81, regarding Lok Sabha composition, and Article 170, regarding State Assembly composition. The reason for using the 2011 census and not the 2026 census is that the latter has not yet been conducted, and waiting for it would delay the implementation of women's reservation by several years. With that background in place, let's look at the implications. This touches the intersection of gender representation, federalism, and democratic governance, making it relevant for GS2, or polity and governance. The Women's Reservation Act, which provides 33% reservation for women in Lok Sabha and state assemblies, was passed in September 2023. It applies to Lok Sabha, state legislative assemblies, and the NCT of Delhi, but does not apply to Rajya Sabha or state legislative councils. Next, let's discuss Prime Minister Narendra Modi's parliamentary statement on the West Asia conflict. The Prime Minister addressed the Lok Sabha during the budget session, outlining India's position on the escalating conflict, emphasizing that dialogue and diplomacy are the only solutions. 5 key diplomatic signals were highlighted, including strategic autonomy, diaspora protection, energy security, maritime safety, and humanitarian concern. What does this mean for India's energy security? India's energy vulnerability is a significant concern, given its large dependence on imports. The Prime Minister noted the expansion of energy import sources from 27 to 41 countries over 11 years. This is relevant for GS2, or international relations, and GS3, or energy security. Now, let's turn to the Corporate Laws Amendment Bill 2026. The Union Finance Minister introduced the bill in the Lok Sabha, seeking to amend the Limited Liability Partnership Act, 2008, and the Companies Act, 2013. The bill has been referred to a 31-member joint parliamentary committee. The key provisions include concerns raised about excessive delegation of rulemaking to executive bodies, potential weakening of parliamentary oversight, and CSR dilution. This is significant for corporate governance reform, which balances ease of doing business with regulatory oversight. The JPC referral mechanism reflects parliamentary democracy's scrutiny function, making it relevant for GS2, or governance, and GS3, or economy. Moving on, let's discuss the Assam Rifles, which celebrated its 191st raising day on 24th March 2026. The Assam Rifles is India's oldest central armed police force, established in 1835. It operates under unique dual control, with the Ministry of Home Affairs handling administration and the Indian Army handling operations. This raises questions about organizational efficiency and accountability in internal security management, making it relevant for GS3 or internal security. Now, let's look at the International Year of the Woman Farmer, 2026. The United Nations designated 2026 as the International Year of the Woman Farmer, and India hosted the Global Conference on Women in Agri-Food Systems to drive policy reforms recognizing women's indispensable role in agriculture. Women constitute the backbone of Indian agriculture but remain invisible in policy and statistics. The key statistics on women in Indian agriculture include the fact that 80% of rural women workers are in agriculture. The major government schemes for women farmers include the Namo Drone Didi initiative, which provides 15,000 drones to women self-help groups with an 80% subsidy. Other schemes include the Mahila Kisan Sashaktikran Pariyojana, the Krishi Sakhi program, and the Agriculture Infrastructure Fund. The challenges faced by women farmers include lack of land ownership and property titles, high physical drudgery with traditional tools, limited access to institutional credit, and climate vulnerability with fewer adaptation resources. This aligns with SDG 2, or Zero Hunger, and SDG 5, or Gender Equality, making it relevant for GS 1, or Society, GS 2, or Social Justice, and GS 3, or agriculture. Next, let's discuss the Hudsonian Godwit and the CMAs, or Convention on the Conservation of Migratory Species. At the UN CMAs meeting in Brazil, the Hudsonian Godwit and 42 other migratory species were proposed for enhanced international protection due to rapid population decline. The Hudsonian Godwit has declined by 95% over 4 decades, with threats including habitat loss at stopover sites, climate change disrupting food timing, and coastal development. The CMAs, or Bonn Convention, was adopted in 1979 and entered into force in 1983. India is a signatory and has ratified the convention. The significance for India is that it is a critical flyway country, with the Central Asian Flyway passing through India and hosting millions of migratory birds. Now, let's turn to the anti-dumping probe on Chinese ethyl chloroformate. The Directorate General of Trade Remedies initiated an anti-dumping investigation into ethyl chloroformate imports from China, following a complaint by Poshak Ltd, alleging price undercutting and material injury to the domestic industry. The investigation period is from October 2024 to September 2025. What is anti-dumping? Anti-dumping duties are imposed when a country exports goods at prices lower than their normal value, causing injury to the domestic industry of the importing country. This is permitted under the WTO Anti-Dumping Agreement and the Customs Tariff Act, 1975, in India. Moving on, let's discuss the RTI rejection rate, which has dropped to 3.26%. The government reported that the rejection rate of right to information applications declined significantly from 7.21% in 2013 to 14 to 3.26% in 2024 to 25, indicating improved transparency and accountability. The RTI Act, 2005, is a cornerstone of transparent governance, and the declining rejection rate suggests improving compliance. Now, let's look at the Bharat Electricity Summit 2026. The maiden edition of the summit concluded with a comprehensive roadmap for building a resilient, future-ready power sector, attracting over 35,000 attendees and 200-plus companies. The focus areas included grid modernization, renewable energy integration, EV charging infrastructure, and smart metering. The outcome was a roadmap for India's power sector, targeting 500 gigawatts non-fossil fuel capacity by 2030. Finally, let's discuss the book, Janjati Gaurav, published by the Indira Gandhi National Center for the Arts. The book highlights the cultural heritage, contributions, and traditions of India's tribal communities. This is significant for tribal welfare and cultural preservation, making it relevant for GS1, or society, and GS2, or social justice. In conclusion, today's current affairs touch on a wide range of topics, from health and governance to international relations and energy security. As we move forward, it's essential to recognize the interconnectedness of these issues and their relevance to our everyday lives. Remember, staying informed is key to navigating the complex world of current affairs, and we are here to guide you every step of the way.